Thanks, Adam. Our scripture today comes from the 10th chapter of the book of John. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hands. The Father and I are one." The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I was struck by the message that my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And I wonder how often people get lost because they cannot hear his voice. One of the greatest commercials of all time is for a company that may not even exist anymore. It's RCA Victor. And in the commercial, they put a vinyl piece of material, it's called a record, on a Victrola that has this horn on the end of it. And when it begins to play, the dog runs to the Victrola and looks inside the speaker, trying to find his master, because his master's voice is coming out of the speaker. I think it's a mean trick to play on a dog, but the message holds true. When you know the voice, you follow. On Mother's Day, I wanted to talk a little bit about that and how it is that plays out in motherhood. I think we all have sayings that our mom used to say, things that we recognize and remember. You know, some of them are universal. Don't do that with your eyes. They might stick that way. Some are more tradition. After my mom had sat for a while, she'd say, "Well, this ain't going to buy the baby a shirt or pay for the one he's got." And she would get up and she would go back to work. And I'm almost convinced that that was what her mom used to say and what her mom's mom used to say. And I think we have a lot of sayings that pass their way down. But what I love about it is that moment where you have your parents' words come out your mouth. And you go, "Where did that come from?" But it's because you listened long enough. You listened often enough. You became familiar enough that those words became your words. And that's part of this process. That's part of this, what being a mom is. I have to, each time I do Mother's Day, read a quick story. One of my favorite authors is Tony Campolo, and his wife is a holder of a PhD and was very capable and was pursuing a very profitable career, but then she elected to stay home with her children when they were born. Her decision didn't bother her at all, except women would ask, what is it that you do? And she answered, I'm a homemaker. I stay home and take care of my children and my husband. They would usually respond with, oh, and then walk away and ignore her. So she came up with a response for the next time she was asked. And she said, I'm socializing two Homo sapien progeny of the Judeo-Christian culture, so they will appropriate the eschatological values of the utopia that will transform the world. And then she would pause and say, and what is it that you do? Switching things around and putting it on the other foot. But I have a feeling that if you read that as the job description, there would be a lot less mothers out there. Because that is an intimidating job description to live up to, isn't it? But it doesn't come all at once. It comes a little bit at a time. One of the other sayings that my mom had was, if you can be quiet for 5 minutes, I'll give you a nickel. My mom still has all the nickels. But what that means to me is that I must have been a handful. Was? Okay, yeah, fair. Fair, that's fair. But what it is day by day, she instilled in me things. As high energy and verbal as I was, she listened constantly. Every night before bed, she would read to me. And later to me and my sisters. And often the highlight of the day was what I called the bed night snack. We got a dessert to go with our reading. After all that she had done and all that I had put her through, by the end of the day, she was still able to turn that switch. Bring the day to a close. And read to me. The other thing that I find scary about moms is that how often you'll be having a conversation with your mom and she's, I knew that. It's almost like there's a window in you that you don't see that moms just look into. And they can see what's going on in your head and in your heart and you just go, ooh. That's a little bit spooky. But I think that motherhood is essentially challenging for one very good reason. God doesn't want you to do it alone. He wants you to turn to Him. And I think many of the things that come out of a mother's mouth may surprise her as well. Because she's not sure where it came from. But God does. When I was in school, everybody sang me the song Swanee River. Can you figure out why? My mom's response was simple. She said, the name can't hurt you if you don't hurt the name. If I didn't give in to the reaction, and I just played along, the name was fine. She always said, when you're working, give a whole day's work. Even if they don't know, you will. But your job is not your life. Good stuff, isn't it? She had some other things that I didn't really understand at the time. When we would look at people and we didn't understand, like it would be in high school and boyfriend and girlfriend would be together and it didn't make any sense to us. She had a saying, she would say, there's a pot for every cover. And as I have gone into marital counseling, I have come to understand how wise those words were. People don't want the same things in a relationship, and you don't understand what it is that they're searching for. And sometimes they find it in something that seems totally off the wall to you. But it works. Because they're the pot to that cover. Sometimes I think they're both a little warped, but it works. My mom always dodged the question of who was her favorite by saying, "You're like a bunch of roses. Why would I pick one?" Quick, snappy stuff. But I think what happens in time is you internalize these things without really knowing it. You become accustomed to her voice, and it begins to become a part of who you are and what you are. There's a depth of that that, like I said, plays out in interesting ways. I don't know if my mom ever said this. I don't recall her saying it, but I hope you have a kid just like you. I don't recall her saying that, but I did. And the words that she said, I had to use. And I realized the wisdom of her words. And I said, wow, how did she do that? She was really amazing. But it's by spending time. It's becoming accustomed to that voice. We not only ate every dinner together, we ate every breakfast together. Then we listened to what was happening that day, to what happened that day. As we became more and more involved and more verbal, it became very hard to get the words in edgewise, but we always listened when Mom and Dad talked, because those were the words that mattered. I found a quote by a woman by the name of Lauren Biver, who's a counselor and therapist and parenting expert that I had never heard of before. The quote is, "Motherhood is the ultimate reward and the ultimate sacrifice, all in the same breath." That's why we turn to God. I am probably standing in this pulpit today because of the faith of my mom. Not that she preached at me, not that she told me how I was called to be an instrument for God, but by the way, she was an instrument for God. As I read several of these things, I could hear her voice saying them because I had heard them so many times. The same has to be true of us and God. As Jesus was talking, he was talking to people who didn't understand and couldn't make sense of what he was saying. And he says, "You don't understand because you can't hear my voice. You haven't spent enough time in the Word. You haven't spent enough time with me to hear what it is that's being said." He couldn't give them a relationship that they didn't have. He couldn't explain it to them in a way that would make sense without that relationship, so he just called them into that relationship. Called them to follow his voice. And as we gather here today, and we think about our mothers and how it is that we came this far. I think we have to be aware that even after we've grown up, quote unquote, and left home, we still follow her voice. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, we give you thanks that you gave us parents to model and give examples of what it is we were supposed to be. Help us to take those examples and to realize where they come from. They come from your love for us. Let us give thanks and remember.